Very good morning to you, my dear listeners. It is Tuesday, the 17th of June. The year is 2025. A very good morning to you, and welcome to Unpack. Welcome to Eagle FM, and this is Unpacking the Day. My name is Mike Oshovedi, and you're tuned into the show where we dive deep into the stories and events and issues that shape our world. So this show is all about breaking down the headlines and exploring the context behind the news and understanding how it impacts our lives. So whether it is the latest development in politics, business, culture, or social issues, we are here to make sense of it all together. But it's not just us doing the talking. It's about you. Share your thought, opinion, and perspective on the topics that matter most to you. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the story. So if you're just joining us, very good morning to you. Our time is about 35 minutes past the hour of seven, and the 17th of June. Let's see what happened on this day on the 17th of June. So on the June 17th in 1958, the Nigerian author Chinua Achebe published his debut novel Things Fall Apart. This book is widely regarded as a classic of African literature and has had a profound influence on how African history and culture are understood globally. And it explores the impact of the colonialism and traditional Igbo society. And it is a publication marked a significant moment in African literary history. So today, the June the 17th is also recognized as the World Day to combat desertification and drought, a day highlighting the critical environmental challenges facing many African countries. So including land degradation and water scarcity, which have direct implications for agriculture and water scarcity for agriculture, food security, and economic development across the continent. So today is a World Day to combat desertification and drought. So. And that's what we have in our segment on this day in Africa. So, and our thought for the day, Tuesday, June the 17th, never give a sword to a fool or power to an unjust man. Never give a sword to a fool or power to an unjust man. So the proverb warns us about the danger of entrusting influence or authority to those who lack wisdom or integrity. So it is a timeless warning. It's a timeless warning. Ill-suited people in power can cause tragedies. So whether through ignorance or corruption. So the proverb urges to guard authority wisely. So ensuring both capability and integrity are present before bestowing the power. So make sure that ensuring that capability and integrity are present before bestowing power. So a lesson as relevant in boardroom and government as it is in rural villages. So never give a sword to a fool or a power to an unjust man. So that's our thought of the day. Hopefully that will guide you as you make decisions and choices in life today. So welcome to Eagle FM. And when we come back, we get into our item today. And also stay tuned. Around 8 o'clock, we will have somebody, a political analyst, to look at the Iran-Israel crisis. So around that time, so we cross to someone. We get in contact with someone to discuss a little bit the issue of Iran-Israel crisis. So stay tuned. We'll be back.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro ni randito mwa yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konora heta tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Well, but a good morning to you. If you're that kind of a person, that on go, the person on the go kind of person like me, so with just your phone, you can easily access your news, your favorite shows, and so much more from Eagle FM. So simply download the Eagle FM mobile app from Google Play or the App Store, and you are all set. So stay also informed on business and economic and politic and policy update, you know, and get your digital copy of The Villager every Monday and Wednesday and Friday. All you need is just to subscribe, and what you need to do is just send your name and email via WhatsApp to 081-241-44 081-241-44. It's that easy, and it's free. You're not spending any, not even a single penny. So what you need is just to send your name and email to that number, and you are subscribed to get your digital copy of The Villager every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. So, and if you want to grow your business effortlessly, you know, effortlessly, where you don't even need. So we have our apps like Imba and Eagle FM app that make it simple. That would make it actually simpler to promote your product and services to a wider audience. So, and don't forget to leverage our highly active social media platform to boost your brand visibility. So, and you ready to get started? So, if you're ready to get started, contact us today on 083-288-400. So, well, stay informed, stay connected, stay ahead with Eagle FM and our extended media facilities. So welcome. Our time is about 44 minutes past the hour of 7. And let's start off with something, with something interesting, really, which, you know, which I would call that Minister Sankwasa has actually blow a whistle on corruption, on council corruption. If you follow, you know, what Mr. Sankwasa have said. No, the story comes from a recent statement by the minister, Mr. James Sankwasa, the Minister of Urban and Rural Development, who has boldly blow the whistle on the widespread corruption in regional and local council across the country. So this is not me saying, this is the minister himself really has a whistle on council corruption. So, well, this is not just any accusation. He's pointed finger. He really pointed fingers at elected officials, council staff, and even his own ministry. So even his own ministry revealing a troubling pattern of abuse of power, mismanagement, and disregard for the law. So let's unpack this, because it's a critical issue that affects every Namibian, yeah? Especially when it comes to how public resources are managed and how actually services are delivered. So it's very, 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 very important for critical. It's very critical for everyone, for every one of us, because it affects us. It affects us directly. So now let's get a background quickly. So Minister Sankwasa's revelation came during a higher level consultative meeting in Windhoek. Was it yesterday? He described a rampant corruption, including now land being allocated without ministerial approval, financial mismanagement, and nepotistic hiring practices, where unqualified individuals are appointed to positions requiring actually people with higher credentials. So highlighted all this. He also criticized the opposition councillors for acting like a mini government, you know. So ignoring the unitary state constitution and operating independently from the central government directive. So all these are the issues. Maybe we're going to look at some of this individually, go through one on one and see what he really said. Adding fuel to the fire, Sankwasa has openly expressed disappointment in the anti-corruption commissions. And that's also something that he mentioned earlier, I think some weeks ago, calling it a dead body. So a dead body, failing to act on corruption report he submitted over several years. So, and this has sparked a backlash from the ACC, which defended its mandate and accuses Sankwasa of misunderstanding its role and unfairly attacking the institution. So, yeah. So let's break down some of these issues. Mr. Sankwasa have revealed or have highlighted. So one of them is a spread corruption in local council. So one of that is a spread corruption in a local councils. It's good to see, you know, this is the headline. It's good to see, you know, a minister actually, you know, without, what is the word? Without holding back, really, you know, it just say it as it is, you know, say it as it is. Corruption among the elected officials and staff is pervasive. It's really pervasive when those now entrusted to serve the public instead serve themselves. So he highlighted that this, instead of serving the public, they serve themselves. The entire governance system is compromised. So the consequences, what are the consequences of those? Poor services delivery, that's what we see with most of the councils, you know, misallocation of resources and erosion of really public trust because of lack of service delivery. So for us, for ordinary citizens, this means that certain services are not which were supposed to be done, are not be able to be done. So for example, road, maybe they will need to be repaired now. They are not repaired because of some of this corruption, less clean water, you know, and inadequate infrastructure development. So it's actually, it's a betrayal of the public's mandate that these people are given. So, yeah, he indicated that there is really, really, really widespread corruption in local councils. And we would like to see, people who have been, you know, serving themselves instead of the public, we would like to see those people actually, you know, thrown out. We want to see that, and also hold responsible for, if this is the case, hold responsible as well and if they're found guilty of that, as he himself said, have some forensic and audit evidence in terms of that. So let's have them, you know, get arrested, get them punished for those corruptions. So we're looking at you, Mr. Sankwasa, to make sure that, you know, whoever responsible for corruption and lack of and for betraying for betraying the public mandate, yeah, so be responsible, be held responsible. So the other thing Mr. Sankwasa have highlighted, he also highlighted cases where financial officers claim there is no budget for the project, but yet project proceed anyways. So suggesting a lack of transparency and accountability. So on the human resources front, hiring unqualified or underqualified staff for position requiring diplomas or degrees, which is undermining the efficiency and the professionalism expected in those positions. So this mismanagement lead to wasted public funds and poor service outcomes, so which ultimately definitely had the community relying on those councils. So the other also area, the other things also Sankwasa criticized is political fragmentation and opposition councillor acting independently. So Sankwasa critic of opposition councils acting as mini governments raises a question about political coercion and respect for constitutional framework. So, in a unitary state like Namibia, decentralization should not mean fragmentation. So, when local council ignores central government oversight, so it increases governance confusion and potential conflict, and weakening weakening unified development efforts. So he criticized that the opposition councillors seem to in some situation act like they are a mini government acting on their own rather than within the in the political cohesion and respect of the constitutional framework within the in that. So, and also the minister minister's bland statement that the ACC is a dead body, unable to act on corruption cases, is a serious indictment. If true, it is a really signal. It signals a systemic failure in anti-corruption enforcement. So, but however, I mean, as we have seen it, I think a week or 2 weeks ago, however, the ASCC Director General disputed these claims, stating that investigations take time and require verification before actions, and accusing also Sangwasa of misunderstanding their mandate and damaging the commission's reputation. So this tension highlights a critical governance challenge, how to ensure anti-corruption bodies are effective and independent and trusted by both official and public. So it's really, you can see that, because, you know, if you have a governance, one of the minister also saying anti-corruption is not doing its job. So definitely that, and you can see also the back and forth between the two, that also shows that, you know, a lack of trust by both officials, government officials as well, in the institutions and the public. So yeah, and so maybe looking at the overall impact of these issues on you and me. So how some of these things that he have said, if we're talking about the corruption and mismanagement, it's definitely erode trust in government institutions. When citizens see official enriching themselves or ignoring the rules, so that actually breeds that cynicism, you know? It becomes so cynicism? So becoming more cynic and disengaged from democratic process. You know, you have so many people now who start, why would I vote? Why should I, you know? So, and that can reduce the voter turnout as we also preparing now for November as well, and by elections. So and can weaken the civic participation, which are vital for healthy democracy. So yeah, and on service delivery, the local councils are at the front line for public services. When you think of water, sanitation, road, land allocations, so they are the front line for public services. So corruption and poor management directly translate into delays, substandard services, and unequal or inequitable distribution of resources. So, and this disproportionately affect vulnerable populations who depend mostly on the government support. So, yeah. So the friction between ruling party officials and opposition councillors, as described by Sangwasa, also risk political instability at the local level. So if councils operate as a mini states, that undermines national unity and complicates coordinated development efforts. So people spend more time, you know, in squabbles rather than actually focusing on development efforts. So Yeah, all those have really impact on service delivery and also on local citizens. So, and on anti-corruption efforts, so the public spat between the minister and the AACC highlight the difficulty in fighting corruption effectively. So if anti-corruption agencies are perceived as ineffective or politicized for that matter, so it weakens their deterrent effect and emboldens corrupt actors. As we critically listen to Mr. Minister Sangwasa's claim, so we must weigh the evidence and consider the broader context. So his accusations are serious and backed by some forensic audit, as he said, and investigation, especially in Windhoek City Council. So yet the ACC response reminds us that anti-corruption work is complex and requires a due process, as they said. So we should also consider the political dynamic at play. Sangwasa's campaign has supporters who see him as courageous reformers. You know, there are those who see him as a courageous reformer. But also, we have some critics within his own party, within SWAPO as well, who fear that damage their image ahead of elections. So we have those who have also expressed that sentiment. So, and this shows how corruption is not just a legal or administrative issues, but deeply political as well. So, yeah, my dear listeners, what we are hearing is a really a wake up call for all Namibians. Corruption in local government is not just a headline. It affects your daily life. It really affects your daily life. The challenge is how to strengthen institutions and enforce laws and promote ethical leadership so that public resources serve the people and not a few insiders. So Mr. Sangwasa whistleblowing is a step towards accountability, I think, but it must be matched by effective action from all stakeholders, including the ACC, including anti-corruption as well, including political leaders and you and me and civil society at large. So, yeah, only then can we hope to restore trust and build a transparent, efficient local government system. So what do you think? We're going to try and reach to our guest this morning, and as I have promised you, but later on you're most welcome to come through and have your reaction to Mr. Sangwasa's whistleblowing, which is very interesting. So all right, so yeah, we will be back. Please hold on. Please stay tuned. We will come back.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, Why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudia, with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. Chicago Shafasana, Nana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuikamoshiwana, E. Moyao, or Tango Botisamwene, Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Orangika, Saisanina, Omaguro, Nirandisoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupiramo, Eagle FM Media House, Gwe 20 Mimeha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara omkwashi pareki wimepo yo mo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, onarahita tuimu. Datundatu, heari jamano tano, oniari. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good morning to you. If you're just joining us, yes, you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. And I was just trying to get to my guest, Dr. Gelson Sintano, the commissioner. So to actually discuss the whole crisis of the Iran-Israel conflict. So his number is not reachable at the moment. So we will try a bit later on. So you must welcome to come through from our first item that we have covered. It's actually the whistleblowing. I call it a whistleblowing of Mr. Sanguasa, the Minister Sanguasa, highlighting mismanagement of financial and human resources, in local councils. So talking about the political, criticizing opposition councillors acting as a mini government, talking about a widespread corruption in local councils, much of them actually serve themselves instead of the public. So those are some of the issues that he actually have highlighted, and the funding in local councils. So also the role of the ACC, which he referred to as a dead body, unable to act on corruption cases. So those are some of the issues he raised, as I said, as a whistleblowers. So what do you think? What's your take on those, on some of the things that Minister Sanguasa have have raised. Well, there are those who actually see him now as a reformer, but also within his own party, within SWAPO as well, there are those who see him as actually putting, you know, them in bad image, as they look at the elections, as the upcoming elections. So, yeah. So what is your take? What do you think? So what is your reaction to that? Whether you have read it somewhere or you just hear it from now here. What is your take on that? You may come through. Our telephone number is 08333 66 091. So you're most welcome to come through. And have your reaction to that or your own contribution on local councils, allegation of corruptions, mismanagement of financial resources, and also, you know, of serving themselves instead of the public. So, yeah, our time, 08, our time is about 10 minutes past the hour of 8. We were supposed to have an interview with Commissioner Gerson Sindano. I'm trying his number. I have tried his number and it's just this number is currently not reachable. So I'll see. I'll call him again. I'll try that a little bit later again and see if I can get hold of him. All right. So you're most welcome to come through and have your reaction to what we have discussed so far. So otherwise, so we look at something different. But in the meantime, please do come through and have your reaction on that. Let me go back to him again and see if I can get a hold of him.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM. The eye.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
So you are tuned into Unpacking the Day with me, Oshoveli, where we break down the stories shaping our nations and our future. So at this time, because I couldn't get to Mr. Dr. Gerson Sindano, so at this time we let's turn the spotlight on the major event happening that will be happening right here in Namibia and in our capital, Windhoek. This is the Commonwealth Trade Ministers meeting and business summit, which is making history as it lands on Africa, on African soil for the very first time. For the very, 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 very first time. So now this summit running from July, I mean, not from July, running from the 18th of June, to the 20th, brings together, government ministers, CEOs, and we will tell you what are the people that this summit will bring after this.
Need lightning fast internet? Paratus has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Paratus' cutting-edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through our high-quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Paratus today. Visit us online at paratus.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights.
All right, welcome back. And our time is about quarter past eight. So yes, as I said, the summit, this we expecting to start on the 18th, tomorrow, start tomorrow, the 18th to the 20th. As it bring together government ministers, CEOs, investors, and innovators from all 56 Commonwealth countries, representing over 2.7 billion people. So the agenda, it's really tackling what they call trade headwinds, the big challenges facing a global and African trade today. So what? Let's break down the critical issues raised in the Commonwealth Secretary of Press release, and discuss what they mean. So because this is taking place in our country. So what does that mean actually to for Namibia's economic growth, having this taking place in Namibia? And as always, I want you to think along with me, and because these issues affect all of us. So yeah, the first up on the agenda of this summit. The first up on the agenda of this summit is the global trade tensions. And we have seen this. So the press release points out that the world is seeing more tariff, disrupted supply chains, shifting in alliances. Think US-China trade wars that has been going on at one point, and also countries forming exclusive trade blocks. Now, so for us, for Namibia, that really matters. Why does it actually matter for us as a country? Because our economy is heavily. So when you have to think in terms of disrupted supply chains, shift of alliances, forming exclusive trade blocks, you know, tariffs, all that. So Namibia's economy is heavily reliant on exporting mineral like diamonds and uranium. So if the world have to split into tight, let's say tight trading groups, and big economies start trading only within their own circles, I think we could get left out in the cold. We could get left out in the cold, and that means fewer buyers of our goods, lower prices, and less foreign currency coming in. So that would have a really implication on Namibia, for Namibia staying connected to global trade network. It's very important. It's very crucial. So if we are shut out, okay, if we are shut out because of this grouping, big economic now, big economies start to trading only within their own grouping or circles, which maybe we are not part of. So if we are shut out, so our economic growth could come to a halt, you see. And that is why our leaders are using this summit actually to push for fair, open trade, and to strengthen our link with Commonwealth partners. So another topic on the agenda is supply chain. So I think Namibia have seen, not only Namibia, but you know, the pandemic and the global conflict as we're seeing it quite happening right away, right now. So have shown just how fragile these are, you know, the supply chains, how fragile these are. So that can cause shipping delays, higher freight costs, unpredictable deliveries. So which means, as you know, because of maybe taking longer routes, you know, for deliveries of your goods, you know. So this have made everything, from cars to cell phone parts, it have made everything more expensive. As I said, we have seen that from during the pandemic or global conflict, as we're seeing it now. Definitely made things more expensive. So when the issue is not just about the tariff, you know, it's about the hidden cost. So what are those hidden costs? Customs delays, as we talked about, endless paperwork, you know, and different standard from country to country. So for our small business, for example, our small businesses or our farmers that normally, you know, export things, this barrier can actually wipe out profit and make it harder to actually compete. So, yeah. So what is there being done is that the summit is pushing for digital solutions. That's on the agenda. It's pushing now for that digital solution, like e-certificate, a digital certificate, and streamline customs to cut the red tape, you know? So if Namibia can modernize its trade processes, you know, we could see faster exports, lower costs, and more opportunity for our entrepreneurs. So yeah, the summit will be pushing now for digital solutions, and that would definitely make a difference in our export, because then you cut some red tape. And that can lower your costs and also give us more opportunities for our entrepreneurs. So that's on the agenda. And the other things on the other issue on the agenda is, and it's a big one. It's a digital trade. So because if you look at in the Africans that have access to internet, only about 38% of African have internet access, compared to much higher rate elsewhere. So that digital divide means It means that our small business, for example, struggle to reach global markets. Namibian entrepreneurs struggle to reach the global market. So this is very important. This is very important. As the expert says that Africa e-commerce, the Africa e-commerce could hit actually $300 billion by next year. $300 billion by next year. So imagine if more Namibians businesses could sell online, you know, reaching customs across the world, you know. So that's job. That's creating jobs. That's income. That's growth, you know. So we need better. The challenge about this is that we need better broadband, we need cheaper data, we need reliable electricity. We talked about that yesterday. So Namibia is investing. The good thing is Namibia is also investing in 4G and 5G networks, and the summit now. So looking at the as it also on the agenda, the summit is focusing on expanding the digital infrastructure and skills. So if we get this right, we could actually leapfrog some traditional barriers and empower our youth and our young entrepreneurs in reaching customer across the world. And that, as I said, that will be job creation, that will be income for many who just need to, you know, to be sitting in some way in you know, Kalongo and be able to sell their stuff, you know, across the world. And that would definitely be economic growth. So that's another topic you must watch out. That's a topic on the agenda when this summit starts. So watch that out. Grow interest if you want to know more about that and what would come out of that. So yeah, what is also on the agenda is let's talk about moving up the value chain. So the value addition, this is something the president speaks about quite often, and one of the priority for her administration, value addition and industrialization. So we know Namibia has minerals, but we, as we know, we mostly export them raw. And the article, the press release, highlight a push to process more of our resources here at home, turning lithium into batteries, battery materials, and refining copper. So now this is very important, as you know, processing at home means more higher incomes, means more resilient economy. So it also means we are less vulnerable to global price swings. The summit is now prioritizing this, and Namibia has already started by banning the export of unprocessed lithium. So we have already started. So we hope that, but I think we need, so even if we have started that, we need more, we need investment, we need skills, and we need technology to make this happen. So, and that's why attracting partners and investor at this summit is so important. Yeah. So yeah, that's another issue on the agenda that would benefit Namibia, the value chain, the value additions, and the ideas of industrialization. So that's something you need to watch out also for this Commonwealth summit that's starting tomorrow. So, and of course, the climate resilient trade, the climate challenge is another huge issue. For us, this is for us, Namibia, it's also very relevant. So drought and floods, already affect our food export and energy security. So the summit is discussing how to build climate resilient trade. So that's also on the agenda. So investing in green infrastructure like solar power and better water management. So that would definitely help Namibia as well. I think it's a benefit for us. It's benefiting Namibia. And for this is not just about protecting the environment, but it is about protecting our economy from shocks. So if we can lead in renewable energy and climate smart agriculture, so we can attract a new investment, and we can also create a new industry. So yeah. So that's also on the agenda, and this is also relevant for Namibia, and hopefully we can be able to tap, from the Commonwealth countries that are already advanced in these sectors, and of course using this platform to attract new investment and create also new industries as well. So yeah, and finally let's not forget the bigger picture. The Commonwealth is a unique club. Shared language, they have the same language, English, they have the shared language, they have similar legal system. We adopt similar legal system, and a 21% cost advantage for members. So for Namibia, this is a chance to open doors to bigger markets, attracting investment and learning from others. So yeah, I think that's an opportunity. So but here is the catch. Okay, the trade talks alone, really won't fix our challenges. So we still face higher unemployment and poverty. The real test will be whether Namibia can follow through. That's the real test. If we can follow through. Signing deals, streamlining, customs and making sure investment create real job for Namibians. I think that's what really would make a difference. Yeah. So my dear listeners, as the world eyes tend to Windhoek this week, let's remember. This summit is about more than just speeches and handshakes. It's not just about comes and have some speeches and in most cases that's the case. So hopefully not. And it's about shaping a future where Namibia is not just a supplier. When we're looking at that, that Namibia is not just a supplier of raw material, but a hump of innovation, you know, a hump of industry, new industries and opportunities. So, yeah. So the choices our leaders make, I think, and the partnership they build, will shape our economic growth for years to come. So what do you think? Are we ready to seize this moment? Are we really ready to seize this moment? Well, you may call in with your thoughts. What is your thoughts on this Commonwealth Summit that's starting tomorrow? So our telephone number, 08333 66091. 08333 66091.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff. Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Welcome back, and a very good morning to you. If you're just joining us this time, our time is about 37 minutes past the hour of 8. And if you're just coming, if you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day. Yes, I promise you that we will have an interview on Iran Israel crisis or conflict. I have tried also to contact my guest on that, Commissioner Sindano, and up to now his number is unreachable, so unfortunately. So if I can't get him today, so we will always have him tomorrow if he will be available tomorrow. So yes, we looked our first item was on the whistleblower by our honorable minister, Sankwasa, talking about, you know, the widespread of corruption in local councils. And, what is your response to that? What is your reaction to that? Our telephone number is 083-366-091. That's our first item that we have covered. We look at the issue that he raised. Do please come through if you want to react on that. And also then we just actually look at the Commonwealth Trade Ministers and Meetings and Business Summit that will kick off, this week in Windhoek. And we look at what is on the agenda. There are a number of issues that are very, very, very relevant, to Namibia. Let's look as if they, you know, it's look as they look at the SWAPO manifesto implementation plan and said, okay, this is the program for your country. We just, you know, we will, issues that we're going to discuss would be more aligned with your implementation plan, for the government. So it's really quite an important issues that has, that are on the agenda. One of that is the global trade tensions and fragmentations, which the article point out that the world is seeing more, you know, fragmentation and also forming, you know, big economies start trading, forming, you know, the what trading groups. So, and the fear is that if the world start to split into these tight trading groups, big economies that start trading only within their own circles or within that group, like maybe you have the BRICS and then you have the, you know, China and Africa, China, trade, or Africa, China Forum, or America. So whatever the case may be. So we, that it looks as if, you know, we have to be careful that we don't left out in the cold. So what we, that means fewer, we would probably have fewer buyers for our goods and less foreign currents coming in. So, what this meeting would, what the implication of that is that, you know, we need to be staying connected to a global trade network. So, and that would strengthen our, so the good thing is that so at this summit, our leaders then, you know, those who are leading this, are using this summit. They're using the summit to actually push, for a fair and open trade, and to strengthen our links with Commonwealth partners, about 56 countries, you know. So it's a quite large body to open trade, to have that, to strengthen our links with Commonwealth partners. So those, that's another. So the other one is supply chain and tariffs, which also we have looked at that in detail. That's also on the agenda. What is also on the agenda is digital trade and infrastructure. Which would actually make things more faster and cheaper. The cost maybe become the price may become a cost of price maybe become low, because, you know, we cut the red tape, and and that would definitely empower some of our youth to do business online. That would also then make it easier for our youth to do business online and reaching customer across the world. And that would, as I said, that would be jobs. That would be, you know, income. That would be, you know, a growth for our youth. So, and the good thing is that Namibia is investing in 4G and 5G network. And in this summit, the summit is also focusing now expanding digital infrastructure and also the skills. So, and that would help really to improve our access to a global market. Yeah. So there's also value addition on the agenda and industrialization that it's highlight the article, the news release also highlight a push to process more of our resources here at home, and turning our natural resources into value addition and Tuvalu addition. So, which is very important because that would then be able to create more jobs, more incomes, and eventually a more resilient economy. So, yeah, so that's whole things that because the summit is prioritizing this, and Namibia has, we are already starting to make some changes when it comes to banning export of unprocessed, for example, unprocessed lithium and other resources as well. So, yeah, and what is the other climate resilient trade that's also on the agenda? So we will continue after this.
Great news! IMPA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMPA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. And thanks for joining us and for making us your number one choice this morning. Yeah, we're looking at the Commonwealth Summit that's coming up and what is on the agenda, what is on the plate. And it's very, very, very appetizing and smells good, really. It smells good. So hopefully you, if you are in vintage, you get a time to, you know, to hang around there, see what is being discussed or follow exactly the discussion that. And we will definitely do that and bring out to you some of the things that will come out through there. So, yeah. And what is your take of the agenda of the issues that are on the agenda? As I said, for me, it looked like they look at the SWAPO manifesto implementation plan and said, well, let's use this to draw up the agenda. And it looks very, very interesting issues that that are on the agenda for discussion, and it's really very, 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 very relevant to Namibia situation. So, what is your take? What do you think? Our telephone number is 0833-66091. You may come through and have your thought or your contribution to what we have discussed so far. And I'm also interested for your thought on Mr. Sankwesa's Honorable Sankwesa's whistleblowing on local council. So our telephone number again, 0833-66091. So do come through and share your thoughts and your opinion. Yeah, so yeah, we're looking forward. We're looking forward to the Commonwealth Summit that's coming up. And that will be something that probably it's an opportunity that we need to squeeze, to seize, not to squeeze. So what do you think? Are we ready to seize this moment? Are we ready to seize that moment? So call in, you may call in, with your thought on that. Our telephone number is 0833-66091. All right. So when we come back, so stay tuned. So we will come back.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omotiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chika wa shafa sana na analonge shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anage shifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randito mwa yoe yonge shifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM in any of its staff.
A very good morning to you and welcome back. Welcome back from that commercial. And if you're just joining us, our time is about 51 minutes past the hour of 8. And this is unpacking the day, and we normally go up to 9:30. So you're most welcome to come through. And what is your reaction to our first two items that we have covered so far? As I promised earlier to you guys about the guest that I have, Commissioner Sindano, Gelson Sindano. So, and I have tried my very best to call him, but his number kept unreachable. So if I can't get him today, probably I'll be able to get him tomorrow and discuss, what we were supposed to. All right. So the other day, I didn't finish this. There was a recent report by Emiliano Bellini, published on June 12th, in PV magazines, the leading global solar industry publications. So the story is based on the breaking research, from the Technical University of Munich. Okay. That is throwing cold water on the green hydrogen dream that have been building across our continent. It's looking at African continent. So let's start with what the issue is all about. According to this Technical University of Munich study entitled Mapping the Cost Competitiveness of African Green Hydrogen Import to Europe, producing a green hydrogen here in Africa and shipping it to Europe is going to cost a lot more than anyone initially thought. So I think day before yesterday, I I was actually starting this and I couldn't actually I couldn't finish that. I just started the first part, just the introduction about it, and we never really went into it. So maybe something that we can look at it now. So you're most welcome to come through and have your say or your opinion on the first things that we looked at. Yeah. So here's the concern. This is where it's getting really interesting for us, Namibia. In terms of this study. So the study found that under the current higher interest rate, developers would face a financing cost ranging from 8% to as high as 27%, depending on the country and specific project. So most exciting models had assumed a much rosier picture, a much lower cost of just 4% to 8%. So, and if you are, so now you have to think, just think about that in a moment. So if you are trying to build a multi-billion-dollar green hydrogen facility, and your financing costs are suddenly three times higher than expected, that is not just a minor inconvenience. Actually, that is something that could actually kill the project. Eager FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm all right. And yourself?
Okay, fine.
Mm.
Yes, the issues on the table.
The issues on the table?
Yes.
Okay. Of the Commonwealth?
Yeah, all the discussion that you started.
All right.
Mm. The one for the minister.
Mr. Sambwasa.
A whistleblower and all this corruption.
Yeah.
Then coming to the Commonwealth.
Yeah.
The Commonwealth now.
All
yeah,
right.
Maybe I must begin with the common.
Yeah.
So the word common derives from the, you know, common, things in common. So meaning that it's opposed to kind of individual action. Now, in that regime,
yeah.
So because we are all ascribed to them in terms of, like you say, in terms of most of our legal, but most of our registrations are coming from there.
Yeah.
And also the interest that we have as the world community. So we really have to align ourselves. It's good that they are looking at the most of those principles or aspirations drawn from the other document, especially SWAPO's manifesto.
Yeah, and I'm saying they have looked at that because the things that they are discussing more align. Yeah, this was now my own perception that it's aligned with the SWAPO implementation plan. Yeah,
it's not a sin,
yeah.
It's not a crime, because even when you look at the most of the registration from the legal system and all this our social economic, they have their roots. And, you know, when the replacement of this, maybe they say the German imperial and the apartheid system, all this registration, or, I mean, legal systems, which yeah. Also now look at our social, economic, and the values of the Namibian people were also kind of discriminatory. So then when you look at now, let's say, most of the constitution that led to the adoption of the Namibian constitution. So most of these things were brought from SWAPO and the other commonwealth countries, and also, of course, the South African, because they were using this common, this Roman Dutch system. But what we are saying is that it's good that they are looking at that, because that now represents the whole picture of a country. Yeah. Because I've also looked at that manifesto, especially during the time when you were deposting them here on the Eagle FM.
Yeah.
And we were discussing most of them. So let them look at this, because it is really encompassing. Look at the smart climate, smart agricultural strategy that we're talking about. And I'm sure, because when you look at I think it's our first national policy on climate change. That was actually the work of Netumbo. So, and now if they are looking at that, because of food insecurity, and this is now the strategy. Yesterday we were talking about green hydrogen.
Yeah.
So in climate action, mitigation strategies, or whatever you call it, it will definitely, it's suitable, it's relevant. So maybe my concern is that when they have all those different groupings, they have the SADC, you have the things. I think they are just there as a basis, some ladder to climb. Because first of all, you must organize yourself within.
Yeah.
So if you are fragmented, things are not well coordinated.
I think the other concern, maybe that we Namibia have to be very guard of, is the as the group, the global power, who pulling, the smaller nations towards their side. So you have the American, you have the China, you have Russia, you understand. So, and that when it comes now to trading, is actually would not actually be favorable. To small nations. And I think this is what one of the aspect that you see, we want to have an open trade, to any country that where our product could be, could be of value, and where it could be actually sold. Yeah.
Sorry. You are right. You are correct. But what we are saying is that many a times when they negotiate on the bargaining table now, that's where you discover that they might not negotiate in good faith. So let's say the tariffs. And then we know very much that we are very best friend to most of the countries. Okay. So that slogan, I think it makes sense. When you say enemy to non-friend, whatever, that thing, that phrase, how does it go?
Friend to have an enemy to none.
Something like that. So it means that for us, I know that this powerful economy, that's why even the rankings. You see, Namibia is ranked in these categories. This other one is put in these categories. Because of those, some of them, they are really biased, kind of. So, but if we can really strengthen our position and say fine, because we know South Africa is a developed economy and it's also a developing economy. It has got two actually sides. Yeah. So now if anything that is really done as correctly, like SACU now and there, and the people are benefiting, equally, not the equitable distribution of you. So sometimes it's really, it might not work on our advantage.
Yeah.
If we do not strengthen ourselves, because more especially because of our population, because of our capacity. And remember, we just came from the, so we still have some registration to be amended and things like that. So that we can really benefit. But in all, I think we just need to strengthen our capacity to work where we think we cannot move very well, and then finish up. So I don't think there's any really big problem. Let them just coordinate their effort. And for that, Sankpasha, I think I agree with him.
Yeah.
Because many a times people do not want to adhere to those code of conduct. The administrative, you see, the administrative part is really a problem. Maybe it's just a matter of creating some kind of ethical awareness and things like that. So it's really going there, but people are also afraid to report. Why? It's because they don't feel protected. Before you say something there, you see it in the newspaper. Then what? The danger of that person with a whistleblower. So if they are really protected, and I think nothing impeaching their rights and all these things, I think the things will go well. Yeah, thank you very much, Mike, for letting me end up here.
Yeah, no, thank you, for Uncle Bona, for coming through. Yeah?
Okay.
All right. Yeah, what is your take? What is your contribution? What do you think for the topics that we have covered so far? So you're most welcome to come through. You're most welcome to come through. Our telephone number is 08-08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091. Yeah, we were looking at the mapping the cost of competitiveness of Africa, of African green hydrogen imports to Europe. That's a study that was made by the University, Technical University of Munich, looking at how financing the reality about producing green hydrogen here in Africa and shipping it to Europe, apparently, according to the study, is going to cost a lot more than anyone initially thought. So, and we're looking at what are those what are the implications to our own grand plan that we have to develop this, to become the hub of green hydrogen in Africa. All right. So the study shows that in this higher interest environment, you know, the cheapest hydrogen we could produce in Africa for export to Europe would cost, the cheapest would cost actually 4.9 per kilogram, 4.9 euro per kilogram without any European policy support. So even with full European government backing, the price guarantees, purchase agreements and the whole, you know, the price would only drop to about 3.8 per kilograms. So 3.8 euro per kilograms. So and then what that means, really, what that means for Namibia and for Africa in general. So now we have been positioning ourselves as the green hydrogen powerhouse of Africa. So the government has been talking about producing 10 to 12 million tons of green hydrogen per year by 2050. So we have got hydrogen hyphen project that is massive, 9.4 billion US dollars investment that's supposed to produce 300,000 tons of green hydrogen annually. So, and yeah, so now, this is where this is here where is the issue with it, where is the problem now. Our entire economic model depend on being competitive in the global market, you know. So and if you look at our most commodity, mining, the mining contribute about 14.4% to our GDP. That's up from just 9% in 2001. So we are a resource dependent economy. You know, we are a resource dependent economy, and we were hoping and still hoping that green hydrogen would be our next big resource play. Now, but if European consumers or customers can get their green hydrogen cheaper elsewhere, or if they decided to produce it domestically, so rather than actually import it from us, where does that leave our plans? Where does it leaves our ambitions? So, and the issues that also comes, that has been also discussed, then it's also about the financing trap that African countries often find themselves in. So the study mentioned that financing costs could be as high as 27% in some African countries. So that is not just, you know, and that reflect a real concern about political. The reasons why that could be higher is because of other concerns like political stability, currency risk, and project execution capabilities. So, and here in Namibia, we are considered relatively stable by African standard. So, but we are still actually dealing with the same fundamental challenges. So the SDG Namibia One Fund, which is was supposed to raise 1 billion in blended financing, has received significant support from the EU and the Netherlands, about 508 million Namibian dollars so far. So, but that's still a drop in the ocean. That's still a drop in the ocean compared to the estimate of 190 billion investment needed by 2040, to establish our green hydrogen sector. So, and the other thing, let's also, when you look at the job creation promises that have been, you know, talked about, we have heard about 1,000 of jobs being created. The Hyphen project alone is supposed to create 15,000 direct job during constructions and 3,000 permanent job. So the economic modeling suggests the sector could actually generate 250,000 jobs by 2040. So, but here's the really critical questions. Here's the critical questions. What happened to those job promises if the economics don't work out? So right now, the green hydrogen sector has created about 400 jobs across 8 active, you know, projects. So, and that's a far cry from the hundred of thousand we have been promised. So, yeah. And remember, these are jobs that depend on export markets. All right? It depends on export market. If European customers decided our hydrogen is too expensive, those job disappears faster than morning mist in the Namibian desert. So, yeah, I'm just, you know, as I said, this is a very interesting study that have just comes out last week. You know, we're looking at that because we are stakeholders. We kind of, it has impact on us if that is the case. So, and also that brings us to the, to a deeper issue, that I think we need to have an honest conversation about. And are we simply replacing one form of economic dependency with another? Because right now we are heavily dependent on mining export, diamond, uranium, gold, you name it. In 2024, mining revenue reached about 52.3 billion, but the sector contracted by 1.2 due to a weak diamond prices. We're going to bear.
June 7 Adventure Tours is offering an exclusive 20% discount for all local Namibians for the month of June and July. Get ready for an unforgettable quad biking and sandboarding adventure in the dunes. Parents, please bring the children to come and have fun on 20% discounted prices this coming June and July month. For more information, contact 081-624-9665.
All right, welcome back. So, yeah, the mining revenue reached 52.3 billion, but the sector, the overall sector, contracted by 1.2% due to the weak diamond prices and also the reduced global demand. So, we have seen how volatile commodity market can be. So now the green hydrogen strategy was supposed to now diversify our economy, but it is still fundamentally about exporting raw materials. So energy. In terms of now green hydrogen, so in this case it's energy. So exporting a raw energy, exporting energy. So we're exporting this now to developed countries. Okay, so we are not building the manufacturing capacity to produce finished good. We are just changing what we export. So we're still exporting. Are we still doing just same things in with a different sector? So, and the other issue then is infrastructure. The study also notes that only 3 green hydrogen deals have reached financial closure. You know, have actually reached financial closure on the African continent. Only 3. That should be according to now the one who writing the article said that should be a wake up call for all of us. Building a green hydrogen economy is not just about putting up some solar panels and wind. Turbines or whatever how they call it. So we need a massive infrastructure investment. Ports, for example, need to be either completely renovated or whatever, you know, to suit the green hydrogen, the pipelines, storage facilities, processing plants. So all those, the port of Elizabeth, not the port of Elizabeth, the port of Lüderitz is being developed as a hydrogen export hub. But that requires significant in investment. So, and here's the thing. So if the economic fundamentals don't work, who is going to pay for all this infrastructure? So the government, international donors, private investors who might not see the enough returns in that. So that are some of the issues that are being raised. The whole idea is really to be cautious. And just as maybe the government is more, it's cautious enough by not investing, you know, by also inviting investors rather than actually investing taxpayers' money in this whole thing. So just to think that, well, if it doesn't work out, we haven't really spent, much. We haven't really committed our funds, to the project. So that could be a very, a smart move from the government. But the other thing is also highlighted is also the timing challenge. So that's another critical issue that emerges from this study is actually timing. Now the EU want to import 10 megatons of green hydrogen to carbonize, its industries. Now, but the study shows that 89% of African green hydrogen projects are still actually in a concept or feasibility stages. So, and the European want to import already 10 megatons, you know, 10 megatons of green hydrogen. So, but most of 89% of African green hydrogen projects are still in a concept stage. So meanwhile, Europe is not sitting still. They are not waiting. They are not sitting still waiting for us to get there. So, they are developing their own green hydrogen capabilities. So, and they are also looking at other suppliers, you know, if we are not competitive on price and we are not competitive on timing, so we could find ourselves out of the game before we even started, before we even really get started. So these are really a real concerns that are being highlighted, and we have seen in a small scale some of facilities that have become. What happened? We can think of what we can think of some of the of infrastructure that's end up actually being a ghost town, because of ill plan. Yeah, and also and much of resources being wasted because something didn't really go as planned. And I think that's a very important point to understand, because the European are not sitting waiting. They also looking at this, how fast can we get this, and trying to invest into it. But if they find a better somewhere where it's much cheaper, looking at other suppliers, so if the price is somewhere is much more competitive in terms of competitive on timing as well, they're only in it for what they can get out of. So now, and here is something that really gets to me also. We're talking about the becoming a major energy exporter, but we still have energy access challenge at home. You understand? So, you look at who is the driving force of this, you know? So many rural communities don't have reliable electricity access, and we are going to be the upset position of exporting clean energy while our own people lack basic energy services. That's what we were talking about yesterday. Yeah? So the government talk about using surplus electricity from hydrogen projects, to carbonize our entire power grid, you know? So, but what if there's no surplus? What if there's no surplus because the economics force us to export everything to remain more competitive? So what if there's no surplus? Like it happens in terms people complain in terms of like fish, the kind of fish that the quality of fish that we export, and also the meat, you know, in similar way, there could be no, what if there's no surplus? Because then we need to make sure that we need to remain competitive. Let's take for example the Eskom. The country South Africa could be in a low shedding, but to remain competitive, they have to actually they have to sell to their suppliers. Namibia, one of them. So while the country itself is in the dark, so. This is exactly the same thing. That's the local energy paradox that we talk about. Yeah. So the other thing is also the regional competitiveness, the regional competitive competition reality. Yeah? So the study identifies like Mauritania as having the lowest hydrogen cost. Mauritania have the hydrogen cost, the lowest hydrogen cost of 3.8 euro per kilogram, followed by, where's the other country? Followed by Algeria. So followed by Algeria with 4.0 euro per kilogram, and then Namibia at 4.1 euro per kilogram. So you see? That's also competition reality. So now we are competing with countries that might have different cost structures, different political considerations, and different relationship with European buyers. So being the third best in a race where the economics are already marginal, I think it's not a comfortable position. It's not really a comfortable position. So that's are some of the issues that actually being also highlighted in the article as it reflect on the findings. Yeah, on the findings. So one of the most troubling aspect of this study is how dependent African green hydrogen becomes, you know, on European policy support. So the price dropped from 4.9 euro per kilogram to 3.8 per kilogram with full European backing. Now that means our entire economic model depends on European government continuing to subsidize our exports. You understand? So what happened when European politics change? We have seen that when American change, you know, what happened? You know, when European politics change, what happened when they decided to support domestic production instead? That could happen. That's exactly what Trump have done in terms of tariff. So what happened when they find cheaper alternatives? We would be building our economic future on someone else's policy decisions. So that's very, 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 very important to think about. So now, that's quite a very important issue to think about. And where does this leave us in? Where does this leave us in? I'm not saying we shouldn't adopt, we should abandon green hydrogen entirely. That's not what I'm saying. I'm reflecting on the article that is looking at the study. But we need to be much more realistic about what it can and cannot do for our economy. And this is not just something I am saying, but it's also a lot of people that I have interviewed here. So like IPPR, that's also another, you know, institution that actually said, hey, be careful. Let's be cautious. Let's be realistic about what it can and what cannot do for our economy. So now first this is now what some of those in know-how suggesting. First, we focus on building domestic demand for hydrogen. We need to build a domestic demand for green hydrogen. So the study mentioned opportunities in mining, for example, in transport and in fertilizer productions. So instead of being purely export focused, we should be building an economy that can use hydrogen domestically. So the study have mentioned that. Secondly, we need to think about value addition, which is also a topic at the Commonwealth discussion. So value addition, which is also a priority by our president. So instead of just exporting hydrogen, can we use it to produce steel, fertilizers, other manufactured goods? So the high iron project, which produces a zero emission iron, is a very good example of this approach. So that's where now the study is focused, to say, can't, instead of now just exporting the hydrogen, maybe we can use it. We can think in terms of use of our own to produce steel, fertilizers and other manufactured goods. So now here's another issue that it doesn't get enough attention to. So do we have the skills and institutional capacity to manage a green hydrogen economy? So this is not just about having good wind and solar resources. So it's about having the technical expertise, the regulatory frameworks, the financial institutions, all this, the industrial base to support a complex higher tech industry. So, and right now, most of our green hydrogen projects are being led by foreign companies, with foreign financing. So that's not necessarily bad. I mean, that's not really necessarily bad, but it raises a question about technology transfer, skills development, and also local capacity building. Yeah. So, well, that's really bring us to another episode, of Eagle FM. So, I'm not here to be pessimistic. Namibia has incredible renewable energy resources, and green hydrogen could be part of our future. But we need to approach this with our eyes wide open, really, really open. So the Technical University of Munich study shows us that the economics are more challenging than we initially thought. The financing costs are higher. The competition is fierce, and the dependence on European policy support is a concerning. So, but that doesn't mean we should give up. Okay, it means we need to be smarter, more strategic, and more focused on building a green hydrogen economy that serves Namibian interests first and foremost. So, all right. So yeah, the future of our economy is too important, I think, to leave it to a wishful thinking. So we need honest conversation, realistic planning, and policy that put Namibia interest first. So, as I said, that brings us to the end of our episode today, of episode of Unpacking the Day. So please do continue to listen to Eagle FM, and coming up it's Mind the Gap with Helmut, and continue to listen to other programs that are coming your way again throughout the day. And from me, Michael Chiavelli, I wish you a very pleasant head. Until tomorrow again, let's do this again tomorrow at the same time on the same station here on Eagle FM. From me, goodbye for now.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the Eye.